Welcome, and thank you for joining us for today's Dealer On webinar, How to Use Yesterday's Data to Sell More Cars Today. My name is Eliana Raggio, and I'll be your moderator today. Today's webinar is being presented by Dealer On. For anyone who isn't familiar with Dealer On, we're an award-winning website development company and digital agency, best known for our amazing SEO, the best customer service, and the highest converting website designs in the industry, including the award-winning Chameleon Responsive Website Platform. When we got back from NADA earlier this year, we were awarded the Driving Sales Dealer Satisfaction Award for top-rated websites for an unprecedented sixth year in a row. We also took home the AWA Award for Best Websites for a third time. Plus, FCA announced that we're now an approved vendor. Lots of things are happening over here at DealerOn. We're still the only company in the industry that offers a money-back lead guarantee program. Do you want to know more? Yeah, you do. You can check us out at our gorgeous brand-new DealerOn website at DealerOn.com. And David hasn't forwarded the slides yet. Oh, there we go. Are you headed to Digital Dealer next week? Good, so are we. But did you know that DealerOn is giving away $50 to anyone who signs up for a demo ahead of time? Ooh, that's right. You don't have to hit the casino floor to win big. Just pre-schedule a demo with us. DealerOn has been hard at work to bring you the fastest loading, top converting websites in the industry, and now's your chance to prove it. Here's the link to register, and the $50 is as good as yours. All you have to do is go to DealerOn.com. to register for that demo, and don't forget to stop by and see me at booth 305. Hope to see you there. We have a great show in store for you today. We have David Metter as our presenter today. David Metter is the president of AutoHook, powered by Urban Science. David brings a wealth of automotive knowledge and experience to AutoHook, both from a dealer and service provider perspective. Prior to joining AutoHook, David served more than 6 years as Chief Marketing Officer for Mile One Automotive, where he built an industry-leading marketing organization, leveraging technology and the Internet to increase market share while dramatically decreasing advertising spend per vehicle sold. David previously headed sales for Autobase, where he helped grow the company from a small startup to the leading automotive CRM software vendor. He began his career on the showroom floor. As an early adopter of Arising Technologies, he built a prospecting and follow-up system that helped him rise to become one of the top Chrysler salesmen in the country, and eventually general manager of a dealership. David is regarded as one of the foremost experts in the automotive marketing and e-commerce space and is a frequent speaker at industry events, including Digital Dealer, the Global Automotive Conference, and the J.D. Power Automotive Marketing Roundtable. And he can be reached at dametter@urbanscience.com. David Metter is also going to be presenting at the upcoming Digital Dealer Convention in Vegas next week. He'll be talking about the uncut story your CRM can't tell you. You're not going to want to miss it, people. You can also catch up with him at booth 1310 over at Digital Dealer as well. And for tickets or more info, visit digitaldealerconvention.com. Now, during the presentation, if you have any questions, please use the question feature located on the corner of your screen to submit them. At the end of the presentation, we'll answer those questions of general interest. If we're unable to get to your question live, we're going to try to respond by email later today. Don't forget, a link to download a copy of this webinar recording will also be emailed to you later today for your reference. Feel free to share it with your friends and colleagues. And guess what? Our good friends at AutoHook, they're giving away a sweet prize on today's webinar. AutoHook is a showroom traffic driver, and they have built the ultimate attribution engine, which tracks that customer through the lead, showroom visit, and purchase, and that delivers a cost per sale that's best in the industry. One of you lucky webinar attendees is going to win a $250 e-gift card direct from our friends at AutoHook. You have to be on the live broadcast to win it, though, so stay tuned, and you could be the one walking away with this awesome prize today. And for more information about AutoHook, you can visit driveautohook.com. Also, at the conclusion of this webinar, you're going to get a short survey, so fill it out. We're always looking for quality feedback from our audience, and we want your opinion to be heard. And hey, do you tweet much? We hope you do. We'd love to see what you have to say about today's presentation, so please tag us in it. You can use hashtag DealerOnWebby. I'm at Eliana Raggio. You can also hit up David Metter at David A. Metter. We look forward to seeing what you're saying. All right, everyone, let's get started. Let's learn how to use yesterday's data to sell more cars today. David Metter, always a good day when you are on the program. How are you, sir?
I am great, and I love your intro to me. Like, I need to record that, and I'll just have it as my theme music. Like, when I walk around the house and my kids aren't respecting me, I'll just be like, hey,
You let me know how I can help you, my friend. And yes, we are going to be recording this today, so you can use it however you like. But I'm so glad you're here today. You always bring the goods every single time you're here. I'm sure today is not going to be any different. So I see you're already on the objective side. Let's tell the audience the kinds of amazing things you're going to be talking about today.
Well, you know, this is fun and interesting to me because, you know, as I've done webinars with you in the past, this is really the culmination of what we've discussed over the last 3 or 4 years, because the topic of big data has been there and has been kind of this nuisance and anchor for us, especially over the last couple years, because once we start uncovering some of this, what we're finding is the stuff that's within our dealership is really kind of one-dimensional. And we got to figure out how to fight through that and see what our real opportunities are, whether they're lost opportunities or the potential of the opportunities we can close, whether it's in the sales or in the service lane. And then once we go through all of that and we have some real factual pieces and execution behind that, then we're going to have some fun and do the giveaway and Q&A session and kind of stump the dummy, which is always fun.
That's right, audience. If you have any questions for today's wonderful dealer on webinar presenter, David Metter, get those questions in. Don't hold on to them. We'd love to see your questions, and we're always here ready to help you use yesterday's data to sell more cars. All right, David, fly, baby. Where do we go from here?
Well, I think the best way to start is that we all really don't have this issue that we think we have. We have lots of problems in the dealerships, right? And we have to navigate through, you know, how we sell and service cars and how we navigate through our managers and our owners' expectations and all of those things. But we think we have this problem with data, and it's really not the problem. So if we know that we have all of this, how can we make some, you know, real common sense out of what we have? The problem is we've got too much noise because we have all of these people, and I fall in this bucket too. Like, we all have our self-interests of what we should be doing with the data that we have and hold dear to us within the dealership. And what I mean is vendors will tell you one thing, and OEMs will tell you another thing, and your dealer principal will tell you another. And all of these things really become a lot of noise, and it stops us, almost paralyzes us from being able to do our jobs. But it's probably because there are some unclear goals. It's hard to have clear goals when you have all of these different factions and agendas. It makes it really tough for you to do your job well. And when you are finally kind of navigating through all that crap, it's hard then to execute, because that's the hardest thing for people to do. Because there's lots of thinkers and there are less doers. So that execution becomes a struggle. But the real thing is that you can't get a vendor or even an OEM to tell you exactly how you do things, because, you know, no two sticks are the same. And what I mean by that is no two dealers are the same. Market areas are different. The makes that you sell are different. Obviously, the demographics of your customers are different in the different geographical regions. So it has to be very specific to you. And that's tough in our industry because we have this kind of this cookie cutter thought around how things should be done, especially when it gets to data and analytics. So that's a lot. And I just want to stop for a second and make sure that you understand that simple is better. So when we get into all of this, sometimes it does paralyze us. It gets us to a point where we can't get out of our own way to make stuff happen. And that's frustrating, because as people in the car industry, we're doers. Like, we want to sell a car. We want to put a number up on the board. We want to have a good day tomorrow and the next day and the next day, because our success lies solely in the month that we're in. And when that next month turns to the first or the second of the month, man, it starts all over again. So simple is better, certainly. So there's a way to put these pieces together. And this, again, has been an evolution over the last 2 or 3 years of thinking about how we take data, how we apply it to our own self, and then how do we get those pieces aligned and be able to execute. So Aliana, we're ready for our first poll question.
Yes, we are. All right, audience, poll question is on the screen now. We'd love it if you get involved with our poll question. Lets us know what's happening in your dealership and how you feel about certain situations. So this question is just that. What do you feel is your biggest threat to your current sales efforts? Please select only one of the following answers. Do you believe it's competition from dealers within your own OEM? Do you believe it's competition from dealers at another OEM? Do you believe your current sales staff is doing you more harm than good? Do you think it's poor leads that you're getting? Or do you think it's all of the above? Once we get a majority of the votes in, we're going to close this poll, share the results, and then you'll see how you stack up with everyone else that's on this call. So, audience, votes are coming in nice and fast. Thank you so much for those who have already voted. If you haven't quite voted yet, come on, let's do it again. Let's get those votes in. What do you feel is your biggest threat to your current sales efforts? Competition from dealers within your own OEM. Of course, competition from dealers at other OEMs, right? Current sales staff, poor lead sources, or is it all of the above? David, I have almost everyone voting. So whenever you're ready, maybe we could go another few seconds and then we'll close this poll and share the results.
That sounds great.
Let's do it. Audience, once again, thank you so much for your votes. We really do appreciate it. All right, let's see what you had to say today. 14% of today's audience say competition from dealers within their own OEM is their biggest threat to their current sales efforts. Another 14% agreed, except they think it's competition from dealers at another OEM. 24% of today's audience, almost a quarter of today's audience, say their current sales staff is doing them more harm than good. 7% of today's audience say poor leads are going to do them in. But the majority, 41% of today's audience, say it's all of that, all of the above. Are you surprised to see that was the answer, David?
Not necessarily. What's funny is that you see 24% in the current sales staff. That means that probably 24% of our webinar makeup are sales managers and general managers.
Okay, if you say so.
No, I think you know what, each one of those answers is correct because based on what I just said around each dealership is different, there has to be a different sickness, prescription, and remedy for each and every dealership because they are all different. And so that's I think a perfect segue into kind of where we are going to go with our data. And I'm sorry, I just clicked off of that because I was looking at the poll question. This, somebody sent this to me. It was so intriguing to me. And for people that have been in the car business for a while, I think they'll appreciate this. There were written documents that, in this case, it was General Motors, passed out to their dealerships. This is from 1939, which is amazing. So this was passed along to me, and as I read through it, it just blows me away, especially what you see on the right-hand side. It's interesting. It talks about, a sales manager must have a keen desire to check such things as the number of people buying competitive cars with whom his own organization has been in contact with, the reasons why they lost the deals, and the reasons why any particular competitor is making a headway locally. That is something that they recognized in 1939, and still today, we struggle with being able to put our finger on the opportunities that we're losing and why. And a lot of it is because, we're one-dimensional in the way that we see data. And what I mean by that is that you don't have a two-dimensional look or even a three-dimensional look at what you look at within your different deposits of data. First one being CRM. You only see the leads that come into your dealership. You only see the opportunities that you're working. And ultimately, when they get to DMS, you'll see the sales. So you see sales in CRM, you see sales in DMS, and then obviously service ROs and other types of pieces. But you can't see the dealership next door and what is in his or her CRM. You certainly can't see what's in their DMS. And when you get to vendors, you only get the one-dimensional look at that business as compared to their exposure. So they don't show you, if you're talking about a digital advertiser, they're only going to show you in comparison to that piece. And that's where attribution gets really kind of sticky. You know, there's all kinds of different attribution pieces. I truly believe in sales attribution and backing into that, but that's a topic for another day. I think that when you start looking at this and you start realizing that you don't have a true picture of what's happening. I mean, you know that you're losing sales. You just don't know where you're losing the sales. You can't look at each piece of your business, whether it's inventory, traffic, leads, you know, actual leads, or even down to your salespeople, where those success and failures really rise. Now, I know you're going, holy crap, here comes another report, in the sense that I've already got all of this stuff. The problem is that it's not a collection within one. So I'm going to try to shed some light on how you can take all of the data that is important that you look at daily and put it into a different type of action. Not just put it into action, but a different type of action. Because we've been analyzing this for years, and really over the last 2 years, as we've been a part of a data and analytics company that is universal within the auto space, it's afforded us the opportunity to look at things like that one loss trend across multiple dealerships and really even multiple makes, and then start breaking that down to things that are important at the dealership level, like what's important to you. So when we started doing this and we started sharing this with some of our dealer partners on our advisory board and others, you could see not only the interest, you could see the intrigue to the point where you get a bunch of car dealers, especially really good car dealers they can do multiple tasks at once. Very rarely do you ever see them put their phones down. Very rarely do you ever see them like pay attention to everything you're saying. I remember the first time that we started looking at this data in a group setting, collection of data, it was the first time that I ever felt like everyone stopped. So I'm going to show you some examples of what I'm talking about, and some examples of how you can think about your data assets differently and what you can do as far as execution. Now, anybody can do what I'm showing you on the left-hand side. Like, any of you can go pull CRM report and look at lead history over a 6 or 7 or 8 month period. But what you may or may not be able to do, and in most cases, 99%, you won't be able to do, is you can't look at your close and defection rate. And what I mean by those leads on the left, how many of those customers bought from you, you know for sure, the white line. The line in the blue is the defection. And being able to see trends in your defection of overall opportunities. The problem is even if you depend on an OEM report, not all of your leads may go through that OEM system. You might buy leads on your own and you have independent opportunities that you put in CRM. Those kind of get washed away, so you don't see that. Here you see a true improvement or decline in what's happening there, but that's nothing. That's just the tip of the iceberg. You can start looking at trends, let's say specific to your inventory. And inventory is a hot button right now because most of the country has a ton of inventory. And that's not going to slow down anytime soon. So what you do with that inventory and selling that inventory is super important. We can start breaking down inventory and looking at trends. So if you look on the left-hand side and see in February of 2017, this dealership had very interesting high loss sales in a specific type of car. And in this case, the lines are a little hard to read, but it's Santa Fe Sport. Well, that's interesting. But take it to the next step and look at the dealership in which they lost those sales to. So you can see that in this case, it was Glenn Hyundai. So you are starting to put together pieces to a puzzle around, did you have the right inventory? Or did you have the right selling techniques against your competition? And who are you really, truly competing with? So the pieces of the puzzle start coming together for you. And then you start looking at kind of a truly interesting identifying of your sources. Now, you guys know how you succeed or fail within your own leads against a third-party lead provider. What you don't see is how many of those consumers defect. And in the blue, you can see those are the consumers that purchase the same cars that you sell, but at a different dealership. But then you see something even more interesting. And this is where you start seeing trends. You can see how many of those consumers, let's say, bought outside of your brand. So in this case, this is, you know, a Hyundai case. You can see that 13 customers who submitted a TrueCar lead brought from you. So, and you know that because you paid 13 times whatever the fees are for TrueCar, because they only charge on what you buy. And you think, that's okay. Well, I'm only paying for what I sell. But think about all the time, money, and effort that was spent where you had 31 other customers stay within your brand. So maybe you could argue that's an operational issue. That's a function of what, how we respond to TrueCar leads, or when we respond, or pricing. So again, pieces of the puzzle start coming together. But then how do you explain the 45 consumers that didn't buy your brand? Those just completely defected to another brand. Now, we know, based on lots of surveys that we do within our business, customers are still looking at multiple brands. But when you start to see the trends with the different lead providers, and I'm not picking on TrueCar, it was just a very interesting observation of the data, because the data doesn't lie. These customers didn't buy your brand. They bought somewhere else. So then you start seeing trends within your own data, and you can make decisions on how you respond, when you respond, or if you do lots of business with a provider or less business with a provider. So all of those things make it easier for you to make decisions on your advertising. And then we break it down even differently. So you can look at that same type of data, but you can see who's still in market. So you can see trends of customers that are still in market, or ones that are just, you know, you see trends of defection across the board. And when you start to see that, it helps you to align your conversion, your training, your actual operational training of your people, and the way you're driving traffic and leads into your dealership, so you can have the highest quality and the highest opportunity to close. Because these are things, I'll go back, these are things that you couldn't see. You can't see in CRM. You can't see in DMS. And even if you go to outside reporting, the majority of the time, you're seeing this 3 and 4 months late. And you have to have this data quicker. It has to be faster. It has to be more actionable so that you can actually fix these issues. And then you can break them down by where these customers, you know, are actually coming from in the defection. So when I look at Hyundai.com, that's no knock, because they're still high in funnel. You know, when they're on a tier one site, you see less buyers and more intrigue at a tier one site. So shock, I don't get shocked by seeing Rogue in there and Pathfinder in there. However, when you get down into an actual lead and you see defection within your brand or even outside of your brand, that's where you have to have pause for concern of how are you handling these opportunities in your store, and how are these opportunities being handled outside of your influence. So we're ready for our second poll question. I'm interested to see how the audience will respond to this.
As am I. All right, audience. Second and final poll question is on the screen now. We're looking for your answer. Please select one of the following answers to this question. How long do you pursue leads without knowing if they did or did not buy a car? Please select one of the following. 1 week, 1 month, 3 months, somewhere between 6 months and a year, or are you one of those dealerships that's a buy or die dealership? I've heard of those. I'm curious to see how many of those are out there, but I've heard that there's a thing there, buy or die. So we want to know how long do you go after those leads without knowing if they did or did not buy a car? Once we get a majority of the votes in, we're going to close this poll and share the results. And David, I love when you do these kinds of presentations, because what you said is so true. The data doesn't lie. And so if you live or die by the numbers, then you can decide which path you're going to take in order to improve your sales, improve your service, just improve the numbers overall, improve your profits. So I love when you bring out the numbers and you say, okay, if you see this, then you know it's this. And it just, it's so black and white, and it doesn't leave it up to, you know, really, it doesn't really leave it up to discussion. To me, and one of the reasons I love math is because every math problem has a finite answer, and I think that's what data gives you.
I agree. And people in our industry aren't super comfortable with that. And you know, I had this reputation when I was at Mile One, where I was a bit hard on vendors. And what they left out in that was that my decisions were directly tied to results and to data. And people don't like that, especially when they're on the short end. Like, you know, if you're a pitcher and you can't hit, you know, you have a low batting average, you got to own it. And that's why they don't, you know, that's why they don't hit pitchers in the three hole and the four hole in a baseball lineup. So but vendors struggle with that. And when you have conversations at the OEM level all the way down the dealer level, if they don't want to own it, like, you just got to own it and move on.
I feel you. All right, audience, thank you so much for your votes. We really appreciate it. It really helps us out. Let's see what you had to say on this question. So how long do you pursue leads without knowing if they did or did not buy a car? No one said 1 week. But more than a third of today's audience, 34% of today's audience, in fact, said 1 month. The majority, however, 45% of today's audience, say 3 months. 17% of today's audience say they do it somewhere between 6 months and a year. And 3% of today's audience say they are buy or die dealerships. All right, David, did that give you the answers you were looking for?
Yes, because it's all over the board. And I think what is probably the most interesting thing to me is that nobody was ever going to say 1 week. But when you look at some of the data that we've seen over the past couple years, I will tell you that there are dealerships that are done after a week. And I can prove that to you in the sense that we can look at salespeople information. So nobody's ever been able to look at a conversion analysis down to a salesperson in a dealership. And so in this example, you're looking at a Chevy store, and we're able to see that, let's say John is the second one over, and John has sold more than 30 cars, and we think John is a superstar. But maybe John isn't a superstar because he's let almost as many of those customers that have purchased from him defect to another Chevy store to buy a Chevy. And we've never seen that. We've only seen John and his success of selling 30-some-odd cars and looking at his overall closing ratio. Let's say it's 20%. And we're like, man, John, superstar. John, in this scenario, because the data doesn't lie, not so much a superstar because of all of those defectors. And then you look at the orange bar and you see that those are customers that John had influence over but didn't buy from his brand either. So you start to see like a very interesting trend at the salesperson level that we've never had the vision on before. And then you start looking at, and this is where I start putting the pieces together. So if I'm an industry trainer, I look at this and I go, well, I know that Renee is getting way too many leads. You know, if Renee was, well, let's say Renee was John over here, or Renee was even Chris at the far side. Well, we're seeing some success, but we're seeing defection, and it's probably because Renee, in this case, is getting way too many opportunities. And then you start breaking down where she's getting her opportunities from. And again, not picking on TrueCar, but if we see lots of TrueCar opportunities, which we already know has high defection, then that's not doing Renee any favors either. But we can see that. And then this ties into the poll question. How about if we start looking here in this dealership says that they follow up in those first 7 days. The data substantiates that. You can see it. Very low defection outside of their brand. In some cases, they see some, but it's pretty good. Guess what starts happening? after day seven, it's like competition on for sure. And in day 31 to 60, they're done. Like, they're completely done. So if they were one of the ones that, you know, offered up the answer of 60 days or 30 days, the answer would be accurate. But we've seen this, and this isn't something we see exactly the same at the dealership level for every dealership. We've seen it actually reversed, where they don't have anything going on. Like, they suck in the first 6 or 7 days, and they're losing customers left and right, primarily because too many leads from the wrong places, and they're just getting their lunch handed to them. But once they get past that day seven or day eight, then they kick it in, and they have some really good educated follow-up, and it's getting into a process, maybe in a BDC, that they're winning over dealerships like this that stop, like literally stop taking care of, you know, any kind of interaction with the customer once you get into the second half of that month. Interesting data in the sense that you can see it, and it resonates with you. So we can do a report down to a salesperson in this case, where you want to put pieces to the puzzle together. Okay, Renee struggles with any lead that comes in on a Sonata from TrueCar. She's probably going to lose it to Liberty Hyundai. If I would have known this, like if I would have known this as a salesperson, I can change my behavior around the way that I take care of this opportunity. Or if I'm a sales manager, I can change the behavior in the way that we're going to price or communicate back to that customer on a Sonata from TrueCar. Or I am going to change my way of thinking in the way that I go after very, very specific consumers that come through different channels. And look what happens. In this case, you can see Renee just struggles from 0 to 7. But man, she picks it up because that's where she starts selling her cars past that, which means that she probably has too much on her plate, as we saw two slides ago, and she can't catch up. But once she does, man, she's good to go. So these are things that training can fix within a dealership. But when I've shown this to industry trainers, they stop in their tracks. They go, you know, I've got to go stay in a dealership for 3, 4, 5 weeks in order to get the information that we show here in 5 minutes. One of the things I loved about the car business was I could walk into a dealership and within 5 to 10 minutes have a pretty good understanding of what's going on. Like, I could look and see the way that the lot is laid out. I could see what salespeople are doing or not doing. I could see the interaction, if I got greeted, all those things. Like, as natural car people, we see. You add this element to that natural ability that is in all of us, and it makes us, I think, much more powerful, and in some cases, unstoppable. And then you layer in that zip-based conversion so that not only do you know and sense where your struggles are, but I love this. Whenever I talk to dealer principals, they're like, yeah, I own my backyard. Yeah, I own my backyard. I have control of my backyard. Well, in most cases, they have literally no idea that they control or don't control their backyard. In this case, because OEM reporting could be one-dimensional in the sense that they only look at it against their competitors. So in that case, maybe they do own their backyard. But wouldn't it be really cool to see what's happening with the opportunities that you're touching that are coming into CRM, that are coming into your BDC or your internet departments, whatever it is, and then be able to see if they're just discounting themselves from your brand and going somewhere else. So in this case, this guy does not own his backyard. And in most cases, you don't own your backyard. But it gives you a sense of knowledge to be able to go and attack this differently with how you're going to drive traffic and ultimately how you're going to take care of that traffic. Like, again, if it's me and I see a lead that comes in from a specific provider to a specific person, it comes from a specific area, like, man, I'm going to be on it because I know that that's one of my weaknesses. And so we can look at that inventory again. We looked at it at a high level when we first started, but let's look at it down a little bit. And you can make decisions, better decisions, on your showroom floor and how you market based on what you're seeing here. Are you selling what you have, and are you losing more sales? In this case, Tucson and Santa Fe, are we stocking the right cars? Are we pricing them effectively? What are we doing that's not giving us more opportunities? And so when dealers see this, they start making decisions that are more accurate than just like the feel, felt, found that we live in the car business. And then we break this down the same way we did from a salesperson side. Man, I can look and see where my holes are with Tucson, losing them to Prestige. And Shalonda is the one who's like, I can put a piece, I can put a prescription together and execute on that now knowing that that's my issue. And so for us, we want to look at this and be able to be a true evaluator and consultant back to a dealership. And really, there's three things that are functional within this. Conversion. And when I mean conversion, I mean like what happens for us to convert better based on the holes that we have. So sickness, we have an issue around Hyundai Tucson's. Prescription, we need to target inventory of Hyundai Tucson's better to drive better quality opportunities to us so that we can close them and sell them. And that's what I mean about conversion. So there's website conversion and there's lead conversion. And we come back and we talk through very specific prescription and execution around that. Same way with training. I gave training examples, and I think that this is a training tool, like a great training tool. So instead of having a Saturday morning meeting just to motivate everybody to not know what the hell they're looking at and what they're going to do and not give them a game plan, say, look, we can do great one-on-ones. And when you have training partners that come in, whether they're outsourced or if you have your in-store training pieces, now you have educated proof on how you can make people better so that you're not churning people for unknown reasons. And then the last one is traffic. Once you get conversion right on your existing stuff that you're doing and you get your training right on what you have already instead of just going and hiring a bunch of new salespeople or different salespeople, then you can start looking at how do I drive better traffic and start looking in that vendor space and really understand how I can utilize this data to be better against my competitors. And so, like, this isn't all, I said it earlier, I base everything on, like, data, factual information. And so, as we've done this, because we've been really quiet about this, because we wanted to make sure that it was really going to work in multiple different settings, different dealerships, because, like I said, every dealership's different. We see unbelievable results. When we take this data and then execute based on this data, when there's markets that are going down, we've been able to watch and see things go up. And I know that closing ratio looks crazy, and I'm not here to be an infomercial on that specific piece, but those closing ratios aren't crazy when you go specifically after targeted pieces that you know are your issue that you can quickly turn in the right direction. It's amazing. It's amazing. And so here's another result of a dealership in a completely different marketplace, in a completely different brand, taking the same type of data, packaged differently, but having the same exact results in the reduction. They were really struggling in that, you know, the whole pump in, pump out side and really watching their market share and being able to increase a market share in a market that's really super competitive. Taking the stuff that you are losing at and being able to process it and execute so that you can start to win at it. So you guys have heard this, and I've used this in a number of presentations. Like, half your money is spent on advertising that's wasted. The trouble is you don't know which half. Actually, that was the thing that motivated and drove me in my 6.5 years at Mile One. Like, I wanted to know which half. I think we're to a point where if we continue down this path, it's not going to be a half. We're going to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it. We're going to know. We may not want to admit to ourselves that we know, but we know exactly where our weaknesses are and where we can fix that. Because we've got to stop, as much as I want it to be, because I'm a car guy, I like going by my gut and things that I do when I'm interacting with a customer on the showroom floor. You have to be adaptive in that situation because every customer is different. But when we get to this can't be going by your gut. It's got to be very prescriptive. You've got to have confidence in the way that you're going to do your business based on factual data. So you might be turned a hard ass in your industry against vendors or whoever else, but it's because you know for sure it's right for your business. So I've put together some resources that I think hopefully will be valuable to you. The case studies I went through quickly in the slides, but we actually have the case studies on those two pieces. So you can download those, you'll see, as attachments. And we also have just released a press release on the data that you've just seen. So you can get a little information there. And I think the best resource, I actually did add the 1939 article because I thought it was funny, and for car people, you might really enjoy kind of, if nothing else, just owning it. But I think the best resource, because we don't just talk about stuff that we do, we talk about the industry, is our blog, which is on driveautohook.com, /blog. So, good. My hope is the action items that you'll take away is that, you can hold people accountable. You can hold, number one, you should start with yourself. Hold your salespeople accountable. Hold your BDC team accountable. Hold yourself accountable. Hold your vendors accountable for not just the sales, but the defection rate. So you can really see what you're losing so you can figure out how you can win. And really figure out, that process for each individual team, because every single separate salesperson is different, and you'll start to see that in the data. And then, I would tell you, just figure out those three buckets: conversion, operational, and traffic driving. And if you do that and you master to a point, conversion, operational, traffic driving becomes simple. And man, you've heard me say this before, like, we spend 80% of our time on figuring out how to drive more traffic, and it's wasteful. It won't be wasteful if you get conversion and the operational pieces in place. So with that, I thank you, and look forward to Aliana stumping me with a bunch of questions.
That's right. I'm going to get to it just in a minute. David, thank you so much. It was a brilliant presentation. Audience, do you have questions for David Metter? I hope so. Send those questions in. We're looking forward to a nice Q&A session with him. And ask him all kinds of questions about data and sales and all that stuff. And let's get some more information out to you so you can know better how to use data to sell more cars. All right, David, you take a drink of water. Let me talk to the audience a little bit over here. All right, audience, we are asking for your questions. Also, we're going to get to that Q&A session in just a bit. Before we do, though, I do want to tell you about those great handouts that we have in the handouts section. Today we have 5 handouts for you to download. They're available for immediate download until the end of this broadcast. So now is a perfect time to get those handouts downloaded and onto your computer. So let me just go through them really fast. First, we have David's slide deck from today. So if you like what you saw, but maybe it went a little bit fast for you, that's okay. Download David's slide deck. It's right in there. Easy, easy, easy. So what you want to do is look on your GoToWebinar interface and look for the word kind of low on the interface. It says the word handouts. There's a little triangle next to it. Click on the triangle. It'll open up, and in there you're going to see the 5 available handouts for you. So David's slide deck is one of them. Now, as David had said earlier, we have 2 great case studies for you to check out. We have the Germain Ford, and then we have the Maurice Subaru. They're both in there. And then you remember earlier on in the presentation, David showed you that interesting thing, that 1939 how to sell cars. So, yeah, we have that in there, too, for you, so that you can check that out as well. And then the press release about TCA, that's in there as well, so you can download that and read up all about that. Okay, David, where are you, my friend? Are you close by? You can turn on your webcam.
Okay. Do that.
Whoa, I'm really big today. Where are you, David? We lost you.
Oh, I'm here.
I don't think so. Okay, there we go. That's much better. All right. David, thank you so much for that. Okay. Let's see. Audience, it's that time. If you missed it at the beginning of the webinar, I announced that our good friends at AutoHook are giving a great prize today away on the webinar. AutoHook, as you know probably, is a showroom traffic driver. They've built the ultimate attribution engine, which tracks that customer through the lead, the showroom visit, and the purchase, and then delivers a cost per sale that's best in the industry. One of you lucky webinar attendees is going to win a $250 e-gift card from our friends over at AutoHook. So, if you are a vendor, we're going to kindly ask you to sit this out. These prizes are intended for dealership personnel only. We do love having you on the show, though, but thank you so much. All right, audience, get your fingers all ready, loose and nimble. Here we go. Good luck, everyone. Today's question is easy. We want to know, what does TCA stand for? Type it in.
Hurry up.
Oh, my gosh. First person in was the correct answer. Let's see who this was. Traffic conversion analysis is correct. Liz Kelly, you are the winner. Congratulations, Liz Kelly. I have to write your name down here. Liz, I don't know that I've ever seen you win on my show before. Can you please tell me what dealership you're from? No, you spelled it. Oh, yeah, you did spell it wrong. I won't take off points for that, Liz. I knew what you were trying to say. Liz, what dealership are you from? You're from SunTrip Automotive Group. Congratulations, Liz. Is this your first time winning on our on a dealer-owned webinar? I'm curious. Yes, it is. I thought so. I usually try and remember every winner's names. So, Liz, you're going to be getting your prize directly from our good friends over at AutoHook. You might even get it later on today. Like, they email it to you. It's the coolest thing ever. So, congratulations, Liz. And, audience, I know we had one really great prize, and your name wasn't Liz Kelly. Guess what? It's okay. We give away cool prizes every week, so come on back to another Dealer On webinar, and that might be the day that you win a great prize on a Dealer On webinar. For right now, we're sending out big congrats to Liz Kelly from SunTrup Auto Group, and we want to thank all of you for playing along, and of course, we got to thank our good friends over at AutoHook for their incredible generosity. And for more information about AutoHook, visit driveautohook.com. All right, David, time to go to that next slide and start answering some questions. Are you ready, sir?
I am.
All right, here we go. First question came in nice and early from Adam. Adam says, how do you factor non-traditional digital interactions, like touch points, into this equation? If traditional trackable lead submissions are declining year over year, he put YOY, I had to like figure it out. How would you use or recommend using that additional data to track all the people that don't submit a lead and just show up on the lot?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And he may not like my answer.
Uh-oh.
No, I mean this. So I would say that he's right. There has always been, we can talk about a decline in leads, but we can also talk about the infancy of the internet, you know, back in 04, 05, 06, and even really trending to, you know, through 07, 08, that we could say, well, most of the customers aren't submitting a lead. They're just coming in. What we're finding is that's not necessarily true. Because we look at leads across the board from a number of different manufacturers, and you know, because we manage these enterprise lead management systems at Urban Science. But even if that were true, and so let's assume that it is, you've got to start somewhere. Like, you have to start somewhere. So if you start with, and that's why I even talk about starting within this data set of looking at your conversion and your operational pieces, you have to start with a segment of your data that is known. So we know that these customers have submitted a lead. We know that they either buy or don't buy because we see this across, and one of the things I did not do and articulate well is why we see all of the sales data, which I'll talk about in a second. So we need to start somewhere. So if this is, let's say, 50%, which it's not, it's way more, but let's say it's 50% of your total addressable customer interaction, then you have to be there. You have to start there, and you have to know that space. So that way you know the 50%. And then you can start addressing the non-known consumers. And there are elements of that. But that's like asking somebody to ride a motorcycle when they haven't even learned how to ride a bike with training wheels yet. It's stupid. Like, it's just not reasonable. So you probably don't like my answer. Go for the first piece. Let's do ABC and then go after that, because I can tell you 95% of the dealerships in the U.S. have not figured out A, B, and C yet, because they haven't had the data to do it.
Interesting. Very interesting. Okay. We do have another question from Adam coming up in a little bit, but we have to get some other questions first. Adam, thank you so much. If you have a follow-up question on this particular one, let us know. All right. Next question comes in from Simon. Simon says, how do you get the data on who is selling what vehicles?
That's a perfect segue.
And by the way, right? That's why I put that one there.
Did you realize that you said Simon Says?
No. I did not.
No, I got to do it because Simon Says. Where do we get that information? Great question. Urban Sciences is the only company in the industry that gets sales data directly from the manufacturer every single day. When I say that, let me put my little asterisk in there. We get it from almost every single manufacturer every single day. There are some, the high lines, the super high lines, that we don't get every single day. We get them once a month.
Lamborghini?
Yeah, Lamborghini. I don't want to get this wrong in the list because I don't have the list right in front of me, but it could be like Lamborghini, Maserati, and, you know, Bugatti and some of the other ones. But for the most part, the what I would call mainline, even the high lines like Lexus and you know, BMW and those, right, most of them we get on a daily basis. So I can actually look and say, hey, I know that Subaru sold 870 Legacies yesterday within, you know, an application, just an internal application. So it's awesome. And because back when I was in your shoes at the dealership level, we couldn't see that data. And when we did see it, it was 30 and 45 and 60 days late, which is good because that's all we had. But it's a little bit troubling because you can't make instant decisions. And, you know, we live in this kind of this instant gratification world. So you got to have the data quicker. So having it, you know, in that shorter time span coming directly from the manufacturers makes it much easier. Our AutoHook customers see this. We actually embed it within our reporting now, where they can actually go in like once a week and see the attributable sales from the week prior. And that's not normally something you see, you know, in our industry. So hopefully that answered your question. We're the only ones in the industry that have it at that speed and reliability. And it certainly gives us the ability to look at, you know, when in the examples of, let's say, Chevy, we saw Chevy, but we also saw the defection rate of, you know, if they purchase from other manufacturers, and that's how we get it.
Right. Okay, Simon, thank you so much. By the way, he thought your joke was very funny as well. Ryan.
First time he's ever heard that in his life, probably.
Ever. Ryan, I believe you already answered this question, but let's just hit it again. Ryan says, when a customer defects to another brand, how soon could you know that they bought someplace else? Is it days, weeks, or months?
I mean, it could be any of those, days, weeks, or months. It's probably not the answer you wanted. But yes, conceivably, we know in days, weeks, or months. So I think the promise and the potential is here, and this is really where I'm working towards within our company and within our users is – they waste a lot of time, money, and effort on chasing customers that are not in the, you know, no longer in the business. You know, if we're dealing with 300 leads from AutoByTel, not picking on them again, but 300 leads from AutoByTel, and there are 150 that have purchased somewhere else, but you guys don't know that because you didn't sell the 150. That's a lot of time, money, and effort that could be put in other buckets at your dealership level. It makes you so much more efficient. Wouldn't it be nice to kind of like know the pitch that they're going to throw to you before you get up to bat? That's kind of where we're going with this.
Okay, I agree with that. All right, Ryan, thank you so much for your question. Real quick, oh, he says thanks. Liz says, where can I get a copy of today's webinar? Liz, we're recording it right now. It's going to be posted online within 24 hours at dealeron.com. You'll also get an email with a link to the recording as soon as I can get it posted. All right, so look for that later tonight, Liz. Thank you so much. All right, let's keep going.
Liz is still on. I figured she'd be spending the $250.
Liz, what are you going to buy with that? I vote for shoes. All right, let's keep going. We have a few more questions, and then we'll close out the show. All right, next question. Let's go back to Adam. And he says, how do you tie defector sales data back to salespeople if they bought from a direct competitor or a different OEM by model? Registration data tied back to lost buyers' home addresses? I'm curious how you do that.
Okay. I think I understand the question, so make sure that I answer your question. How do we tie it back to a salesperson? Well, the salesperson is assigned to that lead, so what was the name of the gentleman who asked the question?
Adam.
Okay. So if David Metter as a lead comes into your dealership, Adam, and you are assigned to the lead, and then as the analysis gets done and presented back to you, and I bought from a competitor, you would see me show up in your bucket of defectors, whether I stayed in brand or out of brand. We do sales matching far different, I think, far superior than anyone in the industry, but that's just my humble opinion. But when we track it to the salesperson, it's because it was assigned to that salesperson in CRM, and we tie back that David Metter back to Adam in SuccessFit.
All right. The same would be said with a BDC person, correct?
Same. So when we break those down, those are the opportunities for each and every salesperson with the leads that were assigned in, you know, in their CRM system.
Okay. All right. Adam, I hope that answered your question. If you have a follow-up, we'd love to help you. All right. Let's see. Next question comes in from Brian. Brian asks, if you have two competing dealerships selling the same types of cars, for instance, Lexus, both using your service, how can one possibly outsell the other? Well, you have different salespeople, first of all. Different advertising, I assume.
Yeah, how do they outsell each other now? I think I understand. So you're talking about one dealer owning both dealerships in a market, and how would they do that? So I don't know how to answer this without being...
sounding like a jerk.
he said two different
dealerships, not the same owner. So two different Lexus dealerships going head-to-head. How if they both are using AutoHook,
yeah, I get you.
One possibly outsell the other.
Yeah, totally get it. And that's, again, I'll do my best not to sound jerky. Everybody has the same tools. When I was with Autobase in the evolution of CRM, and when all evolution's a fancy word by saying nobody had CRM, and it was super tough to go sell CRM into a dealership in 2000 because they didn't, like, the dealers didn't get it. And I can say that now, but they didn't. And what happened was when everybody started buying CRM, I had the same exact question. I had the guy, because I was notorious as a salesperson for selling fear of loss. So I'd go to the dealership right next door to the dealership that I had sold to and say, look, you're going to get your ass handed to you if you don't do something about managing your relationship with your customers. So I was a good salesperson. But he would say, or she would say, well, if everybody has it, then it's because everybody uses the tool differently. Everybody swings a bat differently. Everybody has different problems. So even if you've got those two stores in your marketplace, I'm going to try to answer your question very specifically. You have two stores in a market. They both have that. Doesn't necessarily mean that everything that they do is exactly the same.
Agreed.
And It doesn't mean that every single individual in their store is exactly like the other one. In fact, it's not like that. So you're always going to have these different problems. And quite frankly, I'm not worried as much. I mean, I am worried about like-make competitors. Where this really helps you is where you see defection outside of your make. Because what happens is, and we see this in survey results, people get, they're here. They're at your dealership. And they may not physically be there, but they may be somewhere around there in the follow-up and everything else, or they may physically go there, and something turned them off, and that's where they're defecting. These things that you're going to start to see, even down to that salesperson level, they're going to help you prescribe a better remedy to stop that crap from happening. And you'll start looking at different providers that are clearly not in your best interest. Like, clearly, you thought maybe they weren't in your best interest, but maybe they're, I mean, you just see it. Like, it's just...
in the data. It's in your face.
It's really clear. Yeah, you're not hearing it from me. It's clear in the data, consistently across the board. And that's where you can start making decisions, and that's how you'll become better than, you know, than that direct competitor.
Okay. So. All right. Brian, did that help you out? You know, it's funny because when I was reading your question, I was like, well, you know, a lot of, like, for instance, Nissan dealerships, they have, like, exactly the same websites. So if the website's the same, people would ask the same question. Well, what makes, how can I beat them, you know, online? Not everything else is the same, and certainly not your people. So,
right.
Okay, so Brian says, I like it. Thank you very much. Okay, next question comes in from Frederick. He wants to know, is the data good in Canada?
Yeah, that's a great question. I want to say yes. But let me double check, because I don't want to give you – I work around a bunch of data scientists, and everything is exact, and they don't like when I don't give an exact answer. So let me get back to you on that one. And that's Frederick?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe if you do me a favor, just if you send me a quick tweet or email, I will I'll respond with an accurate answer.
Okay. Frederick, David's email is on the screen now. If you wouldn't mind sending him a quick email, and he'll get back to you. All right. He says thanks. All right. Great. Okay. A couple more questions. Let's see. Ryan wants to know, what are you drinking, Dave? Pellegrino.
Yeah,
all right. Let's see. Next question comes in from Michael. He says, how are you using the real-time data to influence marketing efforts? Well,
yeah. So you want me to answer that?
Shortly, quickly. Yeah, I feel like that's a whole nother webinar.
It is, and I think that's probably a great segue, and that I think the next time that we sit down, and some of the future pieces are going to be very prescriptive execution around how it's going to affect your digital marketing. I think if you focus now, and you may not like my answer, but if you focus now on the conversion of what you have existing and the operational training piece, you get those really dialed in, then everything and anything that you do in the traffic driving coming up will be exponentially better. Like that's a fact.
There you go. All right, Michael, thank you so much for your question. Okay, last question, unless another one sneaks in, comes from Adam, different Adam, by the way. Adam says, can you clarify that this is for new car sales by franchise? If it isn't, i.e. new and used, can you use for only new, or do you also get information for used? How does this only help new car dealerships?
Yeah, good question. So, yes, it is only pertaining to new and certified pre-owned vehicles. It's not used cars because those don't come through those manufacturer feeds. And I would address the question just like I did earlier. We talked about, you know, that what do you do with all the customers who don't submit leads? Let's worry about the primary business. If your business is primarily on the new car side, then this works for you. If it's primarily on the used car side, probably not good for you, and I'm fine to tell you that.
Okay. Adam, thank you so much for your question. And David, always a pleasure to have you, sir. I'm so looking forward to seeing you in Vegas next week. Hopefully they'll let me out so I can come and see you speak, and then you can come and see me speak. So this will be a good thing, right?
So you've got an awesome panel that you're running, right?
I do. I'm pretty excited. For those of you who don't know, I'm going to be hosting Tech Tank at Digital Dealer this time around. So we're going to be it's kind of like Shark Tank, and it's about new and innovative technologies, let's say, but it doesn't even have to be a technology. It could be some, I think last year's winner was some kind of a new box to keep keys in at the dealership. So any kind of an invention or technology or strategy that you can use that would help dealerships. And I believe we have five different people going head to head to see who has the best new invention on Tech Tank. So come out and see us. It's Monday afternoon. David, what time are you speaking?
So I am speaking on Tuesday, and I believe it's at 2:30, and I probably have it in the slides that that are right here. Look at that. I am speaking at 2:35 on Tuesday in Versailles 1, and if it's okay, I'd make sure that you utilize, we're the official transportation provider. If you know anything about us, man, we ride in style. We have our limos from AutoHook that'll be running from Monday to Wednesday, and the information can be sent to you, or if you just once you get to Digital Dealer, you'll get the text code, and it's a way better than standing in line for a stupid taxi or Uber.
I have taken the AutoHook limo before. It is awesome, and it is a free service, people. So don't drink and drive. Use AutoHook. All right, David, thank you so much. Your presentation was awesome, and I so appreciate you, and I cannot wait to see you next week. And audience, you can also check him out at booth 1035 when you're in Vegas at Digital Dealer. If you want to know more about Digital Dealer, check out digitaldealerconvention.com. And yes, of course, Dealeron's going to be there. We're going to be at booth 305, and we have Greg Gifford, the beard, and Sean Rains, the hair. They also have speaking sessions as well, so please check those out while you're there. And by the way, I got to tell you, we're giving away $50 to anyone who signs up for a demo at Digital Dealer by Dealeron ahead of time. So all you have to do is go to dealeron.com, sign up for a demo, date and time, that kind of thing. Show up at the booth at that date and time, do a demo, get $50. It's pretty freaking easy. So I just want you to know, Dealeron has been hard at work to bring you the fastest loading, top converting websites in the industry, and now's our chance to prove it. So register as soon as you can. $50 is as good as yours. Don't forget to stop in and see me at booth 305 or at Tech Tank. And invitations will be going out tomorrow for our next Dealeron webinar, The 7 Disciplines of Internet Sales Success. Look, successfully selling cars online requires three things: strategy, process, and discipline. Do you want to know how to keep a competitive advantage in the marketplace as technology, marketing techniques, and disruptors wedge themselves between you and the consumer? It can be easy to lose sight of the path to success. So we've called in the big guns to put you back on track. During this one-hour webinar, well-known go-to strategist Corey Mosley will share the 7 disciplines of internet sales success. Attendees of this fast-paced presentation will leave with a blueprint for profitability. Corey will offer real-world advice and practical and actionable items. Strategies that will ensure your dealership is optimized and positioned for growth. This is an hour of automotive awesomeness you simply can't afford to miss. So take your internet sales to the next level. Register now to see one of the most impressive members of the automotive community as he discusses the 7 disciplines of internet sales success. Don't forget, Dealeron's weekly webinars are held Thursdays, 12 noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, and 9 a.m. Pacific. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions regarding our webinars and our topics, feel free to contact me directly. Again, my name is Eliana Raggio, and I would love to hear from you. So you can track me down online. I'm everywhere. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Google+. I'm on all the automotive social networks. Or you know what? You can just email me directly at eliana@dealeron.com. Thank you also very much for spending this time with us today, and I hope to see you all on another webinar in our continuing education series. Take care, everyone.